Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Listen.
Kid Rush Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Curtis Doubletree Hotel, downtown Denver, Colorado. I'm in town for the Gen I gathering tomorrow. That's the Generation Indigenous Gathering, being brought to you by the White House. Special shout out to ANA, HHS, Tribal Tech, and the Denver Indian Center. If you're in the Denver area, come check us out tomorrow night at the Denver Indian Center, I believe from 5 o'clock to 10, something like that. I know there's young people traveling from all across Colorado, coming down also from Laramie, Wyoming. So be careful on your way down. Excited to be back up here in Denver and have the opportunity to go back to the Denver Indian Center and do something tomorrow night with them. You know, I don't know what it is about Denver. We were supposed to be here in March, but the event was canceled. My flight was canceled. I believe it was during Denver March, and we had to reschedule. And we rescheduled for tomorrow, and we have crazy weather again. So I got in safe. Snow's on the ground, but it's not flurrying. It's not snowing anymore, so we should be good to go tomorrow. So I'm very excited about that. I don't know what it is about Denver. My goodness, the cold, the weather really wants to keep me out of it. But Lord willing, everything's a go. And I want to give a special shout-out, man. One of the highlights this past week, had the privilege to do the Generation Indigenous Gathering in Albuquerque during the Gathering Nations Powwow, which I did not attend, but I was in town for the Gen I event there. And then I had the opportunity to be a judge at Miss Indian World. And somebody said I got a little TV time, which I thought was kind of cool. But it was good to see a lot of friends and a lot of family out there in out there in Albuquerque. And then the next day I ended up getting up and we headed out to Shiprock, New Mexico, and we spoke at the Northwest Middle and High School with the Shiprock Associated School. And Earl Crisp, I want to thank you very, very much for giving us the opportunity to come up there. There were certainly two highlights. I want to give a shout out to Cheyenne Brady. She did a great job representing her Pawnee side as well as her three affiliated side as she handed the crown and gave the crown over to Danielle Tashina Finn on the road. Wow, it's pretty cool. Two girls from North Dakota, back-to-back Miss Indian World champions. I want to give a shout-out to both of them. And Danielle, I know you're going to do a great job. If you don't know who Danielle is, she is a law student at Arizona State University. She's also from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. And I had the privilege of listening to her speak a few weeks ago at a Gen I rally in Phoenix. And one of the things she talked about was one of her Gen I challenges was to do tax preparation, do taxes for tribal members back in Standing Rock. And she volunteers at the daycare or the Head Start up there. So this young lady is just heading in a very, very healthy and bright direction. So congratulations, Miss Finn, on becoming the 2016-2017 Miss Indian World Princess. So that was great news to hear. Which was some terrible. On the other hand, what some terrible news was my Melissa Thunder. I don't know what is going on. I love my Thunder, but my goodness, we have no reason to be in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm gonna say that again. We have absolutely no reason in the playoffs. Our players better be disgusted. Our coach better be disgusted. I'm disgusted as a fan. Serge Ibaka was hurt last year, and we've gave up Scott Brooks. I think if we would have had him there, he knows the team. Oh my gosh, I need to get off of it. Anyway, he went out to Washington D.C. We don't know where Kevin Durant is going to do. All I do know is if Kevin Durant was so in love with Scott Brooks, Scott Brooks would still be a Thunder coach today. But hey, it is what it is, and our Thunder got just embarrassed. And I was downstairs a little earlier with my buddy Josh and Kevin and Marcus and Michelle. They're all about to go out and eat, and they had their favorite sports teams. You know, they had their caps on. I threw my Thunder hat on. And I quickly took it off because that was terrible, you know. We got manhandled and really didn't do much for my Saturday night. But nonetheless, you know, I want to give a shout out to my daughters who are all out in Tampa, Florida. They went down to compete in a really prestigious cheer competition, and they made it to the finals. And here's a young team from the Lux Gym out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, who at the last minute, I mean, got a bid. It was like a storybook ending down in Dallas where they did well, but their names weren't on the list. Next thing you know, their coach, Kat, comes walking out, tells the girls that we're Tampa bound. The girls go crazy, and I don't think there was any background music, but if this should have had background music, somebody should have played music because the girls went nuts. They went back to Tulsa. They trained hard. They practiced. They went all in, and they went all out through injuries and all. Three-hour practices each night. They went down to Tampa, and they became finalists. So that's pretty much all that I know. That's a pretty big deal. And that's one of the major cheer competitions in America. And they finished and they made it to the finals. So congratulations to Lux Cheer. A lot of the young ladies who attend Union Public Schools, Union High School. I know my daughter Gigi is going to be a cheerleader there next year. So it was the Summit Cheer Championships. And like I said, they made it to the final, and they got the eighth in the nation. So here you have a team. Here you have a team that barely made it to nationals, and then they finish eighth. Only seven teams beat them. So congratulations to them, and they're all down there in Florida, and my other two are back home. And I got a real crazy story for you guys this evening. I'm only going to take about 20 minutes of your time this evening. So let's get on with our program. A favor from God isn't always pretty. Just because you ask for something in a prayer doesn't mean it will always happen. But when it does, make sure you keep the faith and patience during the process. From my recent experience, I learned that Creator is still in control and still expects me to play my part of the prayer. Have you submitted a prayer that was more than a wishful thinking request? Please listen to this message. Please, I ask you to. You can also call in at 929-477-1651. And, share your story tonight of, something that you wanted to pray about. And it took you a lot of understanding, and it took a lot of praying to get what you needed. And I know that we hear that story all the time. People tell us that story. Just pray about it, and it will happen. Pray about it, and it will happen. And you have to invest in what you're asking of God. You have to invest what you're asking of Creator. And here's a really unique story, and I just experienced this. I've been a believer now for about 31 years. I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 10. And I know that He has opened so many doors for me, and He has allowed me to do so many wonderful things. And, one thing that I'm grateful for is to be able to share with my Lord, with others about my Lord and Savior. And that's something I really wanted to do this evening. I didn't want to talk about tribal politics. I didn't want to talk about tribal issues. I didn't want to talk about, you know, some of the setbacks, whether it be as parents or whatever it may be, or whatever is going on. But what I will say is that, you know, we're always going through trying times, and you know, we get pushed a lot, you know, and I'm just really proud of what I'm thankful what the Lord has given me, and I'm proud of everything that, you know, all my children are doing and whatever it may be. So here's a crazy story. So on Friday, you know, I had a chance to go to a school that a lot of the young people are kind of labeled. And I was a kid that was labeled myself. You, some listeners, you know, you can attest to that. I know when we grew up, I know that I wasn't expected to be what I got going on today in a lot of people's eyes. I was expected to be a great person in my eyes, even though I had a lot of setbacks academically, socially, economically. I was going to be something great. And a lot of that happened through prayer. And that's something that I want to encourage you, is when you pray about something, don't think God is just going to bless it and just going to do it for you. You know, it's about living right. It's about being obedient. It's about, you know, correcting them. It's about trying. It's about, you know, being patient, being faithful. And I know that we all go through things, whether it's financially, whether it's socially, whether it's faithfully. We go through some things, and we get frustrated easily, you know. And it's easier to get frustrated and be ignorant than it is to be disciplined and obedient and educated. Being educated is a lot harder than being lazy, than not praying. And here's my thing. I mean, I'm a man of God. Say tonight, if you don't mean what you say when you talk to God, then don't do it. You know, I mean, I hear all the time people say, I don't understand how God let this happen. I don't understand how God let that happen. I don't understand. Well, the reason why you don't understand is because you don't truly understand God's work, and you don't truly understand what God has done for us and it has allowed us to do. I get that all the time from friends. My God wouldn't do that to me. I'm mad at God because he took my mom. He took my dad. You know, people go through some hard times. People lose loved ones, and it hurts. It really, really hurts. I lost my dad, you know, and it was hard. It hurt. I didn't blame God. And, you know, there's times that I'm sitting at the table that I won't pray because I'm frustrated about something. I won't pray because I'm mad at something. I'll let someone else pray, you know, and I'll sit there and I'll try to get into it. But here's the thing. Prayer is having a conversation and a relationship with Creator. That's what prayer is. Prayer isn't, hey, God, take care of this for me. Peace. That's not what it is. You have to understand what you're praying about. You have to understand the consequences of what you're praying for. You have to understand the repercussions, whatever it may be. You have to understand these things. I mean, it's not just, hey, do this for me. And if you don't, God, I'm going to be mad at you. And I'm going to be against you. I'm going to call you a white guy. And I'm going to call you white religion. And I'm going to be anti-God. You know, just because things don't always go your way. It's about being patient. It's about being faithful when you talk to Creator, when you talk to Tukanshla, when you talk to your Lord and Savior, when you talk to God. It's about being patient, being understanding, and having faith in it. I'm going through some challenges right now, you know. My son, he's having a hard time, you know, going to school at a big school. He's having a hard time with it. I know that he can do it. I know that he can get it done. but he's having a hard time with it. And I don't blame him. He comes from a small school. He goes to a big school. He leaves all his friends behind. He's trying to make friends here. He jumps in at the middle of the season, at the middle of the school year, and it's hard to kind of develop into friendships and whatnot, get closer and closer. You know, financially, this line of work that I do, it's sometimes it's an uphill battle. You know, marriages, children, you know, all of it. It takes prayer for things to be successful. You know, when you drive by a house and you see some nice cars and a big house and a lovely family, you know, through the window. I'm not trying to say be a stalker, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, two things. Number one, it may not be all cooked up what you think it may, it may not be all cooked up what you think it is. Second thing is because there's obedience there. Things will happen to you when there's obedience. You want something to work, be right about it. If you want something to go your way, do your very best to be obedient, have the faith, and be patient. It may not come around the time that you want it to, but there's a possibility, a great possibility, that it would come around. So when we leave Albuquerque, we drive up to Shiprock. We set up the turntables, we set up the speakers. Marcus and I were in a one-chance leadership program up there at this Shiprock-associated school up there at the Northwest the Middle and High School. And I really had some time to pray on the way up. And I said, you know, God, I'm going to get off this mic when you tell me to. And I didn't want to be funny. I didn't mean to be, you know, expose them to too much information. You know, I didn't mean to just bore them. Marcus did his part. I got up. I was supposed to go from about, you know, 1:30 to 2:15. And break down at 2:30, and be on the road by 2:30 because it's an hour and a half back to the airport. Gave me an hour to check in, get to the gate, rest. And you know, I was talking to God leading up to this because a lot of these young people, they get challenged in other areas other than academics. I was challenged more than just academically. I had to deal with a lot of stuff as a kid. See, you know, they won't tell you that I had it rough because I had a pretty good life, you know. I didn't care about being poor or not, you know. We did what we could do, right? So saying that, I go out to the school and I'm really praying about it, giving it to God. Heavenly Father, let's do this, you know. I know I can go in there and have a great program and then get out of there and get to where I need to be, but I'm going to turn this over to you, and you're going to make some decisions here. You're going to decide this meeting between myself and these young adults. So I get up there, and, man, we laugh for about an hour and a half. We crack up for about an hour and a half, and a great message was also instilled in the young people. Now, mind you, I said an hour and a half. I get on the stage about 1:30, I mean about 1:15, and I go to about 2:45. I still have an hour and a half to get to where I need to go to fly out, which puts me there. Flight is at 5:02. Oh, my goodness. And I've never done this before. Anybody that knows me, I get to the airport, I check in, I have sit around for a second, I get on my flights. I'm very good about making flights, and the Lord has blessed me with connections and, not having to deal with construction or whatever it may be going to, you know, the airports. So we're zipping. We got to get back. It is 3:15. My flight is at 5. It is 100-plus miles, and I have an hour and 45 minutes to get there. So we leave, and on the way out, Mr. Chris shows us this back road. Mr. C shows us this back road. He says, you've got to go toward Ignacio and then cut up on this one road, and it would take you right to the airport. And we leave, and I just start praying. You know, God, I need to get back home. I want to take my son to La Crosse, Arkansas. I have this date circled. Heavenly God, you know that I have this date circled on the calendar. I have to be home. Half my family, all of my family is going to be gone. I've got to be home. So I prayed, and I was telling God what I needed. Have you done that before? I was telling God what I needed. And the crazy thing is, being a believer for over 30 years, telling God what I needed, I expected him to deliver. Here's the thing. Why does he have to deliver? Because he's our Lord and Savior? Because he died for us? Why do we always expect that he will always deliver because we ask him to? Who are we? What have we done? You know? And to understand that, you have to have a consistency in prayer. Don't pray when you only need something. Don't pray when things are bad. Don't pray when you're frustrated about things. Pray all the time. Pray when you're happy. Pray when you're excited. Always pray every single day, whether it's good, whether it's bad. And you can do it in so many forms. And I've always told you guys that. I've always told you you can pray in many different ways. It doesn't just have to be with your eyes closed and your head bowed. And another thing, don't be ashamed to pray. I was in the car on the way back. Marcus hit every red light. Oh, my gosh. We hit every single red light. And big ups to Marcus Anthony Gwynn, a.k.a. MC1, because he did the very best job that he could to get me back to the airport. So we're driving. Right after we get through the lights, no more red lights for the next 23 miles. Guess what? We pull up right next to a cop in a two-lane highway, and the cop's driving, and I'm driving. The cop's driving, and we're driving, and we can't pass this guy. We can't do anything. He's a cop. He can pull us over. So we're driving. He drives with us for about 15 of those miles, going extra slow, going really slow. And after that, we go, and I see that road toward Inachio that Mr. C was talking about. I said, Marcus, take this. This is it. Take it. Just shoot it. Just take it. So he takes a right, and as he takes a right, he passes a vehicle going 57 in a 40. We're going up a hill. We notice the cop way down at the bottom of the hill, but he's not doing anything. So we push it. We go, come on, man, we got to get there. We got to get there. My flight's in 13 minutes. And I'm 11 miles away. God, come on. You know that I need to be there. You got to do something, God. Make something happen, God. And the next thing you know, we get pulled over by that cop. After we made that turn on the right and we hit that hill, we get to the very top, and Marcus is doing the best that he can to get me there. The cop pulls up with his lights on. We roll our window down, and I have already given up on my flight home. This, mind you, afternoon. This was 2 days ago. We get pulled over. I show him my ticket, my airline ticket. He pulls up. Marcus rolls it down. He says, are you guys native? And we said, yes. He says, I need a license, registration. Why are you speeding? Well, we're trying to get this guy to the airport. I show him my airline ticket. He's like, well, you know, you can't be speeding, you know. And I said, officer, I know you're just doing your job, but is there any way that you could just kind of hurry because I got to get to the airport? He says, you know, I'm pretty quick, and I'll do the best I can. So he took Marcus's driver's license, took his license and registration and all that stuff, whatever they take whenever you get pulled over. He comes back, and he gives us the license and the registration and the insurance back. And he says, I'm only going to give you a warning. But if you go down here at a mile marker 311 and you take a left, that'll take you right to the airport. So we roll up the window. We're taking off. Here I am. I've been praying to God for the past 5-6 minutes. Get me out of this. I gave that day that message, that keynote address to Creator. I gave it to God. He would not let me leave that school until my message reached that one person. It was almost there. It was trying to get there. But he said, I want you here until your message is delivered to the person that I needed to go to. That's how God uses us. Even though God gave man this world, God gave the world to man, he also gives us mission duties. He also gives us, outreach duties. So don't just do something because it makes you look good. Do something that makes God look good. So as we're sitting there in the car, that cop passes us. He waves at us. That cop escorts me to the airport. We're going 80 on the highway. I mean, we're going 80 down this road. Then we get on the dirt road, and we're going like 60 or 70 miles. He takes us left, and he drives me all the way up to the airport. He escorts us all the way to the airport. Can you imagine going 60, going 70 on a highway? Remember what this officer said? Hey, I'll do my best. That was his best. He got me to the airport. When I got up to the airport, I ran in there. I run in, and I take my bags. I'm about to leave them with Marcus because I'm going to see him tonight here in Denver. I leave my bags. I'm zipping to, you know, to run in. I take them with me. The people let me cut. The guy sees that I'm there after the cop escorts us to that right up to the airport. The United guy lets me go through security. He takes my bags. He says, right this way, Mr. Rush. He walks me out to the airplane. He makes them wait so that I can get on the airplane. When I get on the airplane, inside I'm crying because God answered my prayer. God did something, gave me a pass, even when I wasn't patient, even though I gave up after the cop pulled us over. Getting pulled over was actually a blessing. It was actually a blessing to get pulled over. This police officer gave us a warning and escorted us to the airport. When I got on the plane, I flew home. I had to deal with the delay in Denver. After the delay in Denver, I got in late. I got to sit in first class. I got in late. I started to get angry that night because I had to get up early in the morning, take my son to his lacrosse match. My two daughters, they were supposed to be back home, but they had to go with me. We drive all the way to Arkansas to find out that my son's lacrosse game was canceled. I didn't get the email because it was in my junk folder and not my regular folder. And even though it was canceled, what I learned that day is that sometimes prayer isn't always pretty. Sometimes a favor from God isn't always pretty. He's going to make you understand things. So if you're sitting there tonight and you've been praying to God about something, just know that it takes patience and it takes faith, and you need to be obedient in it. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be blessed. The way that I was blessed is I got to spend a little bit of time with my son. I got to spend all day Saturday with my daughters, regardless of the four-hour round trip. I got to spend time with them, and I got to enjoy them. This evening, tonight, I want to thank you for listening. So a favor from God isn't always pretty. Faith isn't pretty all the time. Obedience isn't pretty all the time. That's why you have to pray to understand it. Chance Rush, I thank you for listening. Wish me luck here. Give me your thoughts and prayers tonight. Denver Indian Center. Man. Shout out to Lux. Cheer. Aiding the nation.